Well, praise the Lord. I was just tremendously blessed with that singing. You know, we ask God to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You know, the Bible has something to say about that. And I'm here to tell you tonight, according to the Word of God, if my heart and your heart is where it should be, we're not going to be able to contain all that blessing. That's a promise from God. But you know, we also sang that song, Tread Softly. You know, if there was ever a time, I believe, that we needed to do that, it's the day and age that we're living in. To tread softly. Now think of treading softly tonight. I'd like to say carefully. You know, we have a God that is almighty. He's all-powerful. And He can do anything. He can do everything. But in the midst of all that, He has made you and He has made me that I can choose whether I want to live for Him or not. You know, He could force people to do something, but that's not God. And just think of your own children. You know, as your children were growing up, sometimes at home I was forced to do what I didn't want to do. And I didn't do a very good job at it either because it upset me. But when I think of times that my children did over and above what I asked them to do, what a blessing. And I say tonight, God is blessed if we tread softly and are careful how that we walk. Well, this evening I am aware that there are two power sources. You know, the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, talks about Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and it also talks about the kingdom of this world, which is the ruler and the one that suggests that we take that way is Satan. And everyone tonight, under the sound of my voice, is living and serving in one of those two kingdoms. Either you're a Christian tonight, or you're a non-Christian. There's nothing like, maybe I am. Just like the Bible talks about two roads. We're either on the wide road tonight, or we're on the narrow road. We like to think, well, I'm somewhere in between. No, you're not. It's a little bit like when the Bible speaks about that in Revelation, where the church was lukewarm. We may ask the question tonight, when you think about your life, when you think about the church here tonight, is the church hot for God? Well, we might be a little slow in saying that. Then I ask the question, well, is it cold? We don't want to admit that either. No, we're not cold. And our response too often is we're somewhere in between. Tonight, I believe God calls that lukewarm. When you take a shower, you turn the water to the left, at least in our house, you'll scorch yourself. You don't want to be there. So then you turn the faucet the whole way over to the right, and it seems to be ice cold. Well, I'm not there either. Somehow, I like it in between. And I'm not saying that's wrong if you want to take a shower. But tonight, if you say that you're lukewarm somewhere in between, God is going to do what? Spew you out of His mouth. Tonight I'd like to look at some scriptures. I've entitled my message this evening, Separation from the World. You know, it seems that we like just enough of the world that we find ourselves comfortable in it. We find ourselves doing some things that it's not quite like we like it, but we just hang around there. Now the Bible says, and if you want to, you can turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15. This is a familiar scripture. And yet, it seems to me that I have to again and again remind me what the simple scripture says. The Bible says tonight, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's weighty material. You may say tonight, that's strong language. And it is. To think that God is saying to you and to me, if we love the world, we're not a Christian. The Father isn't in us. That's strong language. And it is. But that's what it says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth. How long? And how long's that? It's forever, right? And ever. And ever. There's no end. But now notice what it says there. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'd like to ask the question tonight, have you conquered those three things through the blood of Jesus? The lust of the eye has gotten so many people into trouble. Got me in many times, it got me into trouble. Then I think of the scripture tonight. If our eye just takes us to lust, cut it out! Now, I'm not saying tonight, cut it literally out. Because I am aware of the fact, when I was totally blind, the things that I didn't have under the cross, may it be the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, were still there. So tonight I'm wondering, do we have the lust of the eye and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh? Do we have it conquered through Jesus Christ? I tell you, as I see it, we're living in a time This thing of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. It's in rampage. And I'm simple enough to believe that it's not all outside of the doors. How do I know that? Because I struggle with it. Now, before I was a Christian, this thing of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, I, in a small scale, like to look at material that I shouldn't have looked at. But the thing that scares me today is this. When I wanted that type of material, I had to drive about 12 miles down the road to an adult bookstore to get what I wanted, my flesh wanted. In my time. And Brother Abner referred to me last night as what's happening to these young men. Yeah, I'm still young. But in my time, that material moved into our own little town called Intercourse and found its way in the Minute Market stores. Satan wasn't satisfied with that. Now we come to the place where we have the computer and it's readily available for people that get on the internet, right in their own home. Satan still wasn't satisfied. Technology brought it to the fact that you have it on your cell phone and you carry it along. If your heart is not right with God tonight, and you want to follow the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, all you have to do is get out your cell phone and look at things that you shouldn't be looking at. Had a young man I counseled with possibly about a year ago. He said he's struggling with pornography, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. I asked him a few questions. I said, well, where are you finding your material? I said, do you have books? No. I said, where are you finding your material? And he pulled his cell phone from his pocket and said, on here. Now we're living in a day and age, we say, well, we couldn't be without a cell phone. I'd just like for you older people to stop and think, how did your parents ever survive? They didn't even have a microwave. And you can't live today without a microwave, can you? We think. Technology has offered us so much down the road, to me, it's scary. And I looked a little bit into this thing of the cell phone. Now, if you have a computer in your house, I'm aware that you can get blockage for that. But I have discovered there is absolute no blockage for the internet on the cell phone. So I'd like to say to you parents tonight, if your children have the cell phone and they have access to the internet on the cell phone, the door is wide open for the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. Now, the Bible talks about cutting out our eye. I'd like to say tonight one thing that I would like to suggest. If that thing gives you a struggle, if that thing takes you down again and again, you better cut it off and throw it away. I have a cell phone too. But my purpose for a cell phone is to call people when they want. I can't get those things on my cell phone. I've had young people tell me, well, it just came along. Be careful. When I went to get a cell phone, I was asked, do you want the internet? I had a choice. Now, there may be some phones that you want, that you think you need, that it's just a part of it. But brethren, I'd like to tell you tonight, you don't have to have that kind of a cell phone. The Apostle Paul said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Also, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified unto the world, and the world unto me. Is your life, is it crucified to the things of the world? Or are you still playing around with the world? The Apostle Paul further said, I die daily. And I'd like to say tonight, if you're a dead man or a dead woman, dead to this world, dead to self, dead to the lust of the flesh, dead to the lust of the eye. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. He says, I die daily to those things. And I'm wondering tonight. The Bible further says tonight in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By what? The renewing of your mind. My mind back there was to lust after those things. But when Jesus Christ came on the scenes, He said, Sam, you've got to renew that mind. You've got to reprogram it. But I couldn't, but God did it for me. Praise God. That by the renewing of my mind, that you may prove what is the acceptable will of God. Well, people may say today, I don't really know sometimes really what the will of God is. Or people, I've heard people say already, well, when we talk about some things of the world, I just don't have convictions against that. There's one thing I'd like to suggest to you tonight. If you don't have any convictions about the things of the world, about following the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, I'd like for you to take your Bible, and I'd like for you somewhere to go out and in your closet, and I'd like for you to open up your Bible. And I'd like for you to say, Lord, I want what you have for me in here. I'll die to anything that you say that I shouldn't have or that I shouldn't do. And I believe I can promise you tonight the result of that will be conviction. But we don't want to go there. We like it a little bit too good. I'm thinking tonight of a beachy evangelist. In his hometown, he was along the road. Someone thought his car broke down. So they pulled in behind him. He never seen them pull behind him. The man got out of the car and noticed that it was his minister. He walked up and tapped on the window. When he tapped on the window, he was horrified. His minister was engaged, engulfed, looking at books of pornography. It seemed he never really came to the place where he was willing to repent. He left the church. He divorced his wife. And the last that I know, he was married 3 times since that. Dearly beloved tonight, please, sin will take you further than you want to go. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, it's going to take you down the road that's going to take you right into the pits of hell. Yet we have people say, well, I can handle it. No, you can't. You're made of material, the same material that I'm made of. And oh, you know what it's like to go through here in this life. And Satan knows our weaknesses, where we're weak. And believe me, he's going to do his best to throw something in our way. And besides all that, I'd like to say we're supposed to be the world's Bible. You know, everything that you read, you should be able to give to your minister. You should be able to give to somebody of the world, your brother or sister in the church. You should be able to give it to them for them to read, and it brings encouragement to them. Now, say again, that wasn't my case. My dad comes this time of the year. He used to want us to read. Well, the Christmas story. Wasn't much of a Bible reader back there. Well, I say, well, Dad, I'll read it upstairs. So he said, all right. So I went up and I started reading, read a few verses. So just about like that, the Bible was laid over here. And I lifted my mattress. And I got a book out of there that shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have been reading. And that's how I tried to inspire myself. But tonight I'm telling you, friends, it was flesh. And my Bible tells me that our flesh needs to be crucified. It needs to be dead. Dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. And the fact of the matter is, it's either dead to sin, it's either in sin, or it's unto God. There's nothing in between. And yet so often we try to make ourselves believe. Another thing that I used to try to do is I tried to make myself believe that no one knows. No one knows. And I didn't know at that time that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the good and the evil. I didn't realize at that time that the Bible says that light and darkness are both alike to God. I used to think that when the sun goes down and nobody else is around, I can do things. I'm not only talking about pornography tonight, but I could go places that my parents wouldn't know. I could do things that I thought nobody knows. And I forgot or didn't know at that point that the eyes of the Lord are beholding. And that God can see in the dark as well as He can see in the light. And that I'm going to be accountable for everything that I do and I say. They forget that God is that way. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12, verse 2, there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. Friends, everything that you say, God hears. Everything you do, God sees. Every place where you go, God sees you there. And someday you're going to be called in and say, John, Sam, you're next, Eli. And then you're going to give an account for your life. And I will assure you of one thing tonight. It'll be too late to repent. Every person under my voice tonight that is listening, that is hearing what I'm saying, is going to hear one of two words in their life. Sometime. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, or depart from me, I don't know you. And the decision of those two words are lived right here today. That will determine which words you're going to hear. I guarantee you tonight, you cannot live with the people in Hollywood and sing with the choir in heaven. It won't happen. It won't happen. Well, my dad doesn't know the music that I listen to when I'm out there. You know, I have it hidden in my car, and the only time I listen to it really is when either dads aren't at home or when I go on a trip. I've been amazed already what young people, and not only young people, but what people found in their cars and in their closets when nobody else was around. Just like at home. I had a plumber tell me one day, he went does plumbing for a lot of Amish people, and there's times that he has to go through closets and has to go through other places. And guess what he finds? TVs! Oh no, they don't have it out in the living room. They wouldn't consider that. They wouldn't have it in their bedroom. No, of course not. Unless nobody else would be at home. And whatever. But I'm saying tonight, the Bible says, not only the lust of the eye, not only the lust of the flesh, but not also the pride of the world, but it talks about the things of the world that are wrong, that are worldly. Now, I don't have a TV. And I trust there's nobody here that does. But the argument today is, well, I listen to the preacher Sunday morning. About all. Maybe a ball game every once in a while. I'd like to say something tonight, and you might be surprised at what I'm going to say. And I want you to know I don't have no TV. I have no intentions of ever getting one. But there's something that scares me more than the TV tonight. And believe it or not, that's the cell phone. Because of the subtlety of the whole thing, your sons and your daughters, if they'd be ready, if they'd have a TV in their room or they'd be carrying around, you would have things to say, I trust. But they can take their cell phone. They can carry it. They can walk with you. They can work with you. But when you're not around, they can look and listen to just everything that the flesh would like to have. But I feel it's a trick of the devil. And we need to be careful. Well, you know, this thing of the world. Achan, for example. All of a sudden, when they were supposed to go up to Ai and kill everybody that was there and not take anything else along back and all this, Achan came up there and he said, you know, that Babylonian garment and a few other things looked kind of appetizing to him. He took them along home and he hid them under the tent. You know the story. Well, I'm ahead of myself. The next town, I think it was, that they were supposed to take was Ai. Well, they said, that's just a small town. We only need a couple thousand people for that. Why take all the army up there? They went up there and they were defeated. They run, so to speak, with their tails between their legs. And when they came back, you know, the thought was brought out, something's wrong. There's sin in the camp. They knew that if they didn't win the battle, there's something wrong within the camp. Nobody owned up to nothing. So they started going down through the tribes. And to make a long story short, it came down to be Achan. But before they'd done that, I'm trying to think of the leader of the group. Joshua, he fell on his knees and he cried out unto God. And he prayed. I think he probably prayed and prayed. Why have we been defeated? What did the Lord say to him? He told him to get up off of his feet. You should have known that there's sin in the camp if that happens. Then he started checking it out where it is. Came down to be Achan. Achan, his wife, his children, his cattle, his livestock. Everything was killed. And the children of Israel were able to move ahead in victory. And I'd like to suggest something tonight. The way things are going in a lot of our churches, seems that the devil is on a rampage. Seems that we're defeated in a lot of areas. Seems that we have people that are not victorious. It seems that we're facing almost a battle that is not to be won. I believe God would say today to you and I, you ought to know if that's the case, there must be something wrong within the camp. That you can't move ahead. And when I look out over the universe and I think of all the beachy churches and all the Mennonite churches, and I see the way they're going, what they're tolerating, what they're not working with, yes, I believe the reason it's not more prosperous is because there's sin in the camp. I believe that. So we better start taking inventory. Better start looking. Which family is involved here? This thing of discipline is almost out the door. Now, I grew up as a young Christian, and I'm not trying to throw stones tonight at all. But you know what I'm talking about. There was a group of people that seemed they excommunicated. By just, if you had the wrong suspenders on. Or if you had the wrong color belt, or whatever. Just seemed they had to be excommunicated. We're living in the day and age. We're reacting to that. and not using any discipline at all. Is that more right? No. It's just as bad. Because we have the admonition here, how to keep the church pure. Well, we say we love the people. We love them too much. I don't have time. I'd like to take you through the scripture, what the Bible teaches about your discipline in your home for your children. You know, they beat them with a rod because you hate them. No! Because you love them. And all the discipline that it talks about. Well, we need to move on. I realize tonight there's a way that seems right to me. And there's a way that seems right to you. But if it's not in the will of God, it's the way of death. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. We can't decide on our own. I'm going to do this. I'm by myself. Doesn't matter what my brother thinks in the church or what my fellow brethren think somewhere in another state. It's not that way. If you're going to take your own selfish route, the end of that route is death. That's what the Bible says. All right. Now the Bible says here, not only the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, but it goes on to say the things of the world. And I'm not going to make a lot of comments, a lot of things. Because I am a firm believer tonight, if you're a child of God, if you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, and you have a regular Bible reading and prayer time, and you go to the Brotherhood Church and you fellowship together, and you pray together, and you open yourselves up to each other, you will not be following the things of the world. It's only as we kind of withdraw and we follow after our own heart, our own desires. The brotherhood is kind of pushed in back. I want to do what I want to do. And that's not being dead to self. Not at all. I would like to say this evening, I'd like to give this illustration. If I would have a loaf of bread here tonight, and this loaf of bread is sliced in pieces, and I would say to you, brethren and sisters, here's some bread I'd like to feed you. But before you take any piece of bread from this loaf, I'm warning you, there's one slice in this loaf that has deadly poison in it. And if you would happen to eat that piece, you'd probably die. The loaf looks all the same. I asked you a question tonight. Who is here that would be brave enough to come up here and get a slice of bread and eat it? Would you do that? Well, you probably quickly say, no, I wouldn't take that chance. I'd like to say tonight, why do we grapple with the things of the world if it's going to take us to the same place? Why do we do it? I really don't have the answer outside of the fact there needs to be a change of heart. And so I can say, if you say you're a Christian tonight and involved in the things of the world, God would tell you, you're wrong, you're not a Christian. But if I would tell you that, you'd say, you're judging. But I'd like to say it tonight, dearly beloved. I have a long time decided that I can say what the Word says. And by the grace of God, I'm going to stick to the Word of God. It may cut, it may hurt. But I'm aware tonight that the truth will always make us free. Now tonight I'd like to... I can't really see what time that is. Could somebody tell me what time it is? 8:10. I have a few minutes then, yeah. Okay. I didn't even give you a chance to answer. But what I'd like to say tonight is, when you look at that piece of bread, and you wouldn't think of taking something, a slice out of that, and for sure, you wouldn't give any to your children. You say you love your children. I don't want to do that. I understand that. Now I'd like to ask you, quote you a scripture where the Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? I ask you tonight, brethren and sisters, if I'd have a little torch up here, and I'd light that torch, and I'd turn it on my stomach, what would happen with my clothes? They burn. So it's a very logical question. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? On the other hand, the scripture says in the same place, if I would build a little fire up here, and the flames would be coming up out of the fire there, and I would step over, I would step into the fire. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk on hot coal and his feet not be burned? You say, of course not. Again I say this evening, please, listen to what the Word of God has to say. You are not able to play with the things of the world and not be burnt. It'll cost you a lot more than you want to pay. It'll take you a lot further than you want to go. You say, well, what are you saying? How do you know? I've done did that. And I don't intend to go back that route anymore. If the Lord gives me a sound mind, I don't know what the church has to face yet. But if I would ever be brought to the stake because I believe in Jesus Christ, that I believe in separation from the world, and I would refuse to bow down to some image, if that would cost my life, brethren, I believe God would see me through. I don't intend to back down now. I don't intend. I know what's out there. I know where it'll take you. And I know the destiny. And at the same time, brethren, I know I don't want to go there. And I don't plan to. But I would like to say this. You can do a lot for me to help me to remain faithful. We can pray for each other. We can, when someone is struggling with something in their lives and you see it, brethren and sisters, I'd like to encourage you tonight. Go put your hand on their shoulder and pray with them. Read to them some scripture. I know it takes time. But which would you rather have? An hour helping a brother and a sister? Or working an hour and getting $20 and $25 and then spending it for whatever? What's worth more? Well, I think you know. I know, and I think you know. The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that they were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I tell you tonight, brethren, I am a firm believer, if our level of our love for God will raise, the love for pleasure will go the other direction. Is that right? Boy, that's weak. I believe it's true. Actually, it's what the Bible teaches. And not just that. I know people that, and you probably don't have it out there, in our area, some of our plain churches, they have organized ball teams. And they play in leagues with Amish boys. Well, that should be all right. We can witness to them. We can be a light to them. I did that one too. And I know for a fact that when you get involved in a game of ball and you enjoyed it, and some people would say I was good at it. I'll let somebody else say that. But when you get involved and you know the game and you have one goal in mind, and that's to lose. No. To win. And you will think and do almost anything for your opponent to get him to not be able to win. Not even thinking about the salvation of their soul. God help us. God help us. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want you to say after I'm gone that Sam said it's wrong to play a game of ball. That's by no means what I said. I believe a game of ball within the church brotherhood can be encouraging. Can be a good thing. But when it takes our fathers away from home, two nights a week, and the wife and the children are at home, and the man is out there living for the flesh, that's a different story to me. That's a different story to me. Evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. Exactly. Did you ever stop and think what a rotten apple would do in a basket of good apples? You'd think with 40 or 45 good apples in a basket, and you put a rotten one in the middle with all the influence that is there of all the good toward that bad one, it would make the bad one good. Does it work that way? No. Actually, if you let that apple in there, it's going to make all the others rotten. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So, what do you do if you find yourselves in these things tonight? I praise God that the Lord doesn't leave us hopeless. He has some answers. The Bible's, I would like to use the term tonight. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful and will forgive us. And what else? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But brethren tonight, sisters, are you man enough? Are you woman enough to reveal that and confess your fault? Confess your sin. Yes, we have many scriptures that we could turn to. I look at it, I'm going to quote Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brook, O God, my soul panteth after thee for the living God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. And I say, if you have a soul within you tonight that thirsts for God in that way, you're going to be delivered. All right. You know, Proverbs this evening says that we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Says we need not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. And I tell you this evening, if you trust God with all your heart, and you don't lean on your own understanding, and in every way you acknowledge Him, and He promises to direct your path, it won't be the path of the world. No, it won't. It just won't. There's so many things that after we get our lives straightened that are going to take place in our life. We're not going to think so much of that ball game. We're not going to think so much about the worldly cars and everything that is out there that we somehow like to get a hold of. The lust of the flesh is not going to bother us that much. The lust of the eye won't either. We'll realize that we're humble before God. And then, seems the Lord shows people then, oh, instead of going and playing that game of ball tonight, I wonder, why don't we go down here to Susie Jane's house and give her a word of encouragement? She's a widow down there. She's lonely. Let's go down there tonight and encourage her. Or we might decide that some Tom Jones, some Sunday dinner time, instead of just inviting all our close friends in, let's make dinner and take it to Tom Jones and experience a blessing. We have yet not to experience a blessing by doing something for someone else. Have you? Is that a real burden or is that a blessing? Well, it should be a blessing. It should be a way of life. You know, I'd like to encourage you young people. Some Sunday afternoon, just go to a home. It may be within your church here. Somebody may be sick. Somebody may be whatever. It may be your neighbor. Just grab some books and go and sing praises to God. And I tell you what, I can't tell you tonight. I can't tell you in words tonight. When I was sitting there in my chair, not being able to go anywhere or do anything, when there's people, not only young people, but old people, when they came in the door and they started singing, I can't tell you the blessing tonight. Unless you've been there, you don't know what it does. Rachel? I think that's right. And there's so many tracts that should be passed out. And the Lord, you know, He has given us a mouth. He has given us a tongue. He has given us a speech. And he wants us to use it to encourage people. And you can't encourage people if you're living in this after the world. Don't happen. We have a tendency, like someone said, we take 5 days of the week to sow our wild oats, and then we come to church on Sundays and pray for a harvest failure. Oh, friends, tonight, I'd like to say again, I said it earlier, you can't hear the heavenly choir sing if you're tuned in to Hollywood. And all these things that we have, they're in our power, they're in your power, either to turn them off, turn them on, or turn them off. Do away with it. Love it. Follow after it. Deny yourself to it. It's all in your hands. I've discovered the concern that my dad and my mom had for me. They could talk till they were blue in the face. But when I was in their absence, I did what I wanted to do. And you can take that attitude. You can take that route. You may say, well, Dad's just an old fogey. You may say, well, Dad will never find out. But I'd like to say tonight and remind you again, be careful. God sees everything. God knows everything. And you may say, well, I'm from the Amish background. I should be all right. I'm from the beachy background. I should be all right. My dad's an evangelist. I should be all right. I'd like to give you a story that I experienced in clothing. In the neighborhood where we lived, I got this. A couple girls came to our house, at least one girl. And she said, our dad's dying. And we don't think he's ready to die. Would you come and talk to him? I went up the road about a half a mile from where we lived at that point. Walked into the house. The man was laying there. He was in a coma. I talked. He didn't respond. As I was standing there beside his bed, He said something that put the chills down my back. He said, move me up a little bit. My feet are in the fire. I talked to him again. He didn't respond there for a little bit. Then he said, move me up a little bit. My legs are in the fire. And then he died. I'm not here to judge the man tonight, but I say it doesn't look good. And I'd like to say to you tonight, and I'd like to plead with you, if you have something in your life tonight that you know that isn't right, shouldn't be there, don't wait till you're on your deathbed. I have discovered people that were on their deathbed even didn't have enough of strength to say, God, forgive me. When you have health, you have strength, and God shows you something in your life that you need to get rid of, please don't wait till it's too late. Timothy says tonight, that some men's sins are open beforehand, and others what? Follow after. That's your choice tonight. That's my choice. I can send my sins ahead of me. I can confess them. I can get them under the blood. And if I don't do that, They're going to follow me right into glory, and they're going to condemn me. So I say again, the question is not whether our sins are going to get there. The question is when. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, our hearts are heavy tonight concerning this thing of the world. Oh, it would be our desire, beyond my desire tonight, that everybody under the sound of my voice could be dead to self, dead to this world, and alive unto God. And at the same time, I realize that we have an enemy, and he's out there trying to defeat us. He's trying to trip us. He's trying to tell us it don't matter. He's trying to tell us, yeah, you can repent sometime, but not tonight. Wait till tomorrow. Knowing that tomorrow never comes. Oh, God, tonight, please. Would you speak to our hearts this evening? Lord, would you help us to have a heart of David where he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And help us, O God, tonight to be honest, to be true. We know you're coming again. You're coming soon. Oh, God, how sad it would be tonight if we wouldn't be ready. Just for the sake of a little bit more pleasure in this life. God, I commit each soul to you here this evening. And I ask thee that you would do the work of your Holy Spirit amongst us. And, oh God, to thee be the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to give you an opportunity tonight again, but ask for verses.